All right, let's turn to Galatians, not chapter 3. I'm going to go back. You know, when you build a house, you have a plan or an idea how big you want it to be, how high, how wide, how deep. And if it's a small pup tent, you don't need to build a strong foundation. But if you build a great house, one that matches the mission, the purpose for which you built, then you must actually make sure the foundation is strong. You can't just put some stakes in the ground, hope it'll hold through the storms and the winds. So I could easily go on to Galatians 4 and so on. But I want to go back to Galatians 2:20, which is misunderstood, which is hard to get a hold of. Because if you read chapter 3 and you don't understand chapter 2:20, that particular verse of that chapter, which the whole chapter develops, Paul's personal testimony. And if you don't understand that, you can't understand what he's saying to the Galatians. And there's no way they could comprehend what he's saying. I've read it over 50 times easily. And the third chapter. But it's useless because you have to understand Paul's personal testimony. So let's look at the 20th verse. And I may not get beyond this, particularly in light of time. I may not get beyond this verse, which is fine, because this is the main thing. I've been teaching you from the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit, in the name, not in mine, but in the name of the Spirit, that righteousness, yours, is not active. Your righteousness is never yours. Active. Man in his best state, altogether vanity. So since it's vanity and useless, it's useless to build a 10-story building on sand. You can't do it. So Paul is saying, the reason why I'm going to teach you this is because it's the foundation of my personal life, is that active righteousness is not my strong point. I don't think it's Sam's. I know it's not Alex's, and then I'll stop there because I don't want to say any more. But active righteousness is you doing what God wants, and you have to get a hold of this truth that you cannot do what God wants. What must I do to be doing the works of God? You can't do that. And what did Jesus say? Go to church, go to synagogue, run around the temple, light candles, sacrifice sheep, goats, and bulls. He didn't. He said, believe. This is the work of God, that you believe. Why? Because the work has already been done. So whatever good work you were going to do in your personal life was done before the foundation of the world. That means that whatever you're expected to do, it's the parent that takes care of it. Not the child. Not the son. Not the wife. It's the adult, the mature one, that does all the blessing. We don't bless God actively. We bless him passively. We love because he first loved us. So we're able to worship God with all our heart and soul and strength and our neighbor as ourself. And we can do it. But the only reason we can do it is because he's done it for us, and then he's doing it in us, and then he does it through us. So you don't command a 2-year-old or under. Well, maybe 2, but certainly not 1-year-old. You can't give them commands. And you can't therefore command Christians who are immature, not mature. But once you become mature, having passed through trials and tribulations and gone through the furnace, then you can. And they willingly want to know, what's my purpose in life? You know, what am I going to be when I grow up? And so you can give them commands or duties or responsibilities. So when we exhort someone, we're exhorting him not just as a believer, but as a disciple learning to obey, or as a mature lover obeying. And then we normally don't even exhort them. We normally just simply give thanks to God because they've learned. So passive righteousness is a hard concept for the church, the lukewarm church of our day, because they believe that God has done his part, now it's my turn. Or I have the authority of God, or I have the right, I am the righteousness of Christ, or whatever. That can be just a profession, or it might be a confession, they're different, of faith. And so there are Christians who think, I'm already mature and all I have to do now is work. You know, get my ministry, find out what my gift is, and practice. Not so. You have to go through the fire. The only way you can tell if the thing is going to endure is to go through many trials, tribulations, and rejoice while you're going through, and never give up hope while you're going through, and continually give him thanksgiving, praise, and adoration. So worship is wrought out of the fire. And when everything is done, you will not say, I did it, and here's my reward. Or will you complain? Gee, I did all that and God never gave me a reward for behaving myself. God doesn't want you to behave. He doesn't want you to behave. He wants Christ in you to live through you. He wants Christ in you to do for you, then to do in you, change you, and then to live through you. Forever. Not just this world, forever and ever. In ages yet to come. So your righteousness doesn't mean you can sin. I'm not teaching that. The Holy Spirit's not teaching that. He's just teaching you that when you're exhorted, you may not do it. The Lord may exhort you to do something and you may not, or a pastor might exhort you, or a fellow believer. But you cannot exhort children with any effect. What you can only do is teach them the concept, and it'll take years before the concept turns into a reality. They could actually be 25 or 30 before that concept turns into a reality. I'm just saying. I'm just making it up. I'm just imagining. You don't learn by head knowledge. You learn by heart knowledge. And your heart starts with Jesus living inside of you, not how you behave. Not how you behave. How many of you can be born again and still sin? You can be born again and still live a totally contradictory life to what you profess and confess to God. But it doesn't mean you're not a believer. It just means something was missing in your growth. You know, you got some wrong teaching or something, and so you didn't grow properly. But the fault lies with God. The fault lies with the master. The fault lies with the one who did it. That's why he said, the good work I began, I, not you, not others, I will surely complete. So pastors, as David and I know, are not able to teach people. I mean, you can teach them all day. But only God can actually teach and then perfect what he's taught. So any parent realizes there has to be a lot of patience. So that love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. Those gifts are not really your gifts. Those are not your gifts. Those are actually the very presence of God living out his life through you. Those are not you. You don't have love. You will never have love. Love is something that Christ does in you because you're his temple. Passive. The temple is just a housing, a dwelling place for the Almighty. And so when you are a temple, you don't do the worship, but the one in you actually does the works. The one who built that building, the one that erected it. All right, are you following so far? Now, let's look at the 20th verse, Paul talking about his own testimony because he was raised under the law. He behaved himself under the law. He knew that he wasn't perfect, but he understood there were lambs and goats and bulls that he could sacrifice and make up for his sinfulness and cover his sin through the blood of a lamb or a goat or a bull or a turtle dove or something. That no longer is acceptable. That was acceptable. That was acceptable, actually, until Christ came. Now it's antichrist to still speak of the past under Judaism, under the law, as the present. A sea change took place when Christ came into the world. And so his capacity was not his own. Even Christ had no capacity of his own. He actually took the form of a servant. And if he did a good work, he did not acknowledge it. The works that I do, he could have said, are not by me, but the Father who dwells in me. I'm the temple. Right now, there is no temple. The physical temple in Jerusalem is not God's temple. But I am now, from now on, the temple of the living God. And now that he dwells in you, you are the temple of that temple. He is the holy place, and you are now that temple that houses the living God. The whole Godhead dwelt in Jesus, so he's a dwelling place. But remember, Jesus is God. And so therefore he just took the form of a man. It was a real taking, but nevertheless, he still remained the Son of God. So when you don't do right, when you don't behave, you're not going to change. When you don't behave, you're not going to change. Now, you could outwardly do it, but that would just be outward. It would not be acceptable to God. He wants you to love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. And he set it up so that no man can do that. With God, all things are possible. With you, nothing. No man can do what God can do. No man can do the impossible. So, being sinful, not by nature, he didn't create you that way, but being sinful by culture, by your own choice, you're guilty by your own choice. All have sinned. Not God made them that way, but they became that way. They chose their essence. They didn't choose their existence. But everybody here exists, and that was a gift. You didn't do it. You were passive. But everybody chose voluntarily to be critical of others, to injure others, to sin. So behavior is not a possibility with man. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Zero. So let's look carefully at this language and see how Paul describes himself.
Where are we exactly?
We're in Galatians 2:20. Probably quarter after. Yeah. Thank you. Gar dia nomu. For through the law. Gar dia nomu. For through the law I died to the law. For through the law I died to the law. In other words, when the law was given, not the one written on your heart by God, the Father, the Son, everybody's heart, but the law was given through Moses by a revelation in history, in time, in space, that law, when that was given, made sin exceedingly sinful because it made the standard higher. Not really. The law was written on your heart. Do good, don't do bad. You can't go higher than that. Be like God. Be exactly like God. Don't do anything bad. Do everything good. But it wasn't clear how many gods there are or exactly what is right and wrong in any given instance. So he gave the Ten Commandments and others, but he gave the Ten Commandments in a general way. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and so on, and he described it all. Now sin became exceedingly sinful because right away on the first commandment alone, everybody has failed. And if you don't do the first, you can't do the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, and ninth, and tenth. So forget it. If you can't do the first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You can have other gods, but they just can't be before me. So God didn't care that you had 1,000 gods. He didn't care. He doesn't care about that. What he only cares is, but I'm the only top God. I am the most high God. That's all he cares. So you can do anything the other guy says as long as you go to the top guy first and ask him if I can do anything anyone says. So you can have all the gods in the world, and people do. People do. They go by their own emotions. They go by what their mother said. They go by what society says, and so on and so forth. So that's not the problem, that you follow other gods. The problem is that you didn't make God higher before, greater, and check with him first. So you don't ever do anything that someone says just because they say they're an authority, because that may not be the case. You have to check with God. Did you know that you have to test every spirit to see whether it be of God? You have to check to see, does what you just said line up with God? For example, our government was set up that whatever the what you call the general powers of government, the legislature, the executive and judicial branches, whatever they did, had to submit to a higher law, to a higher authority called the Constitution of the people, which submitted, and this is what people didn't like, that the people who made that higher law actually submitted to a higher law. Not only the common law of England as adapted and adopted in 1776, but they also submitted to, because that law, the common law of England, had to submit to the natural law, and that law had to submit to the law of Moses, and that law had to submit to the equity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, you couldn't make a law that would derogate, that would deviate from those laws. So you actually have 6, 7, 8, it depends on how you want to number it, but lots of laws that are higher than normal. Lots of laws. So God rigged it up so that you can never do his law. It's impossible. To behave yourself perfectly is impossible. Could anyone say amen?
Amen.
Oh, well, that's good. It's a very good group. Do we have sinners?
Amen.
Now, you might be called a saint, and you are by faith, but you're not in fact. So by faith you are, but in fact you're not. How many could actually stand up now, and I'm not going to ask you to, but how many could actually stand up now and say, I haven't sinned this morning? Even on the way to church, I was anxious. I drove too fast. I was nervous. I was worried about something. I was distracted. I was not thinking only of God. So don't answer that question, but think about that question. Is I dare say 2 or 3 of you were not holy the whole time. And you've only had an hour or so after you woke up. So you've already messed up. So how many know that Christians still sin after they're Christian? So we don't judge others, do we? Well, sometimes we do. We're not supposed to. But how many know you always do what you're not supposed to do without any effort? You just look at somebody and realize you shouldn't be wearing that color. You know, you should not have a mustache. I was thinking of Raul. And we just automatically do. You don't even have to think. You just automatically are criticizing other people around you. You need to lose weight. You know, you're just constantly doing it, right? I mean, you just do it without thought. And so it's hard to get rid of all your sins because they just kind of come. What are you doing here? You shouldn't even be here. You don't belong here. And so on. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the pagans. But we are also Christians who still sin. Unbelievable. We believe in Jesus, but we still sin. Now listen to Paul's language in Galatians 2:20. For through the law I died, epethason or epethanon, I died to the law. So, in other words, when I heard the law, I realized I can't do it. Listen to the law. This is Old Testament. Listen to the Old Testament law. Be perfect as I'm perfect. How many know that is not your strong point? Perfect. It's not your strong point. Does everybody know that? I mean, you know, doing the best I could. If you'd have said that, I did the best I could. But perfect? I'm not like God. How many know you're not like God? I mean, I don't always want to turn the other cheek, let somebody else do me in, and then say thank you. I sometimes want to get even. Has anybody ever had that? You know, or sometimes someone will do something, and I'm angry that they did that. I'm critical of what they did. So there's no way we can live heaven on earth and live together, even as a church, because people are always sinning. And sometimes that makes us sin. But we wouldn't have done it unless you had sinned first. I wasn't going to sin, but because you sinned, I sinned. How many know you are never a victim, you are always the culprit? How many know that? How many know that? You're never innocent. Because the standard is real high. It's not grading on a curve. You got a B+. She got a D. Now this one is everybody has to get A+. You have to be perfect. So you have to get it all right. By the way, as a student at Yale, I was A+. And many times A++ because the professor said he got everything exactly right. So that's kind of amazing, but you know, it's really not. It's really nothing. But in God's situation, I would get a Z-. I wouldn't have gotten anything. Z not for sleeping, but just for not knowing anything about God. But now I love God, but it's in my heart. It's by faith, right? It's not by works of the law. It's not by works of the law. It's not because I behave perfectly all the time. So is everybody okay? Everybody okay with that? That people around you are sinful. And sometimes you. Is everybody aware of that? Sometimes you. Sometimes you get impatient. Sometimes you get bored. Sometimes you're angry. Sometimes you're afraid. Sometimes and so on. So everybody's like that. Even Christians. Even pastors. Pastor David, sometimes you do that. Not too often. No.
Thank you.
But God is not into behavior. He is into his behavior. He always behaves. I mean, no, God always behaves. That's a high standard. That is a high standard. He's always behaving. But here's his behavior. My thoughts toward you are always thoughts of peace. That's amazing. His only thought toward you is not punishment. He's not thinking of how to punish you for not behaving. He's thinking only of how can I get my mercy to them, and then how can I change them, and then how can I get them perfected so that I can marry them. This is his only thought. That's what he calls peace. In other words, how can I get them to have peace with me forever? That they'll always do what I want. Remember Jesus said that? I always do what pleases my father. How many know that Jacob doesn't always please his father? Is that true, Jacob? And so, that's a high standard to live up to. I always please my father. I always do what's pleasing to him. None of us have done that. And certainly no father has done that. I mean, it says that just nobody's doing that. How many know that even wives don't do that? When I married my wife, she said to herself, because I didn't know about it, I will never confront my husband. I will always be, submissive, dedicated, because I saw my parents, she said. I saw my parents argue, and I said to myself, I'm going to be a good Christian. I'm not going to do that. When I marry my husband, I will not confront him. And that was great. How about, you know, that's a great thing for a wife to do. I didn't know about it. But I wouldn't have known had she told me that she was doing that. So if she had told me, because I saw her frowning sometimes, you know, I saw her sometimes criticizing what I was doing, and that's because I was naughty. Has any men, not the women, has any men in here ever been naughty? Could I see a show of hands? Okay, so that's everybody. Well, there you have it. So women, I don't know why they do it, but they marry men. I don't know why they do it, because men are known for their naughtiness. Even after they're 30 and 40, they're still like little kids. They're still doing silly things. Could anyone say amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, what are you doing? I watch TV. Give me another beer. I mean, they're just naughty. They're just naughty, you know. We're supposed to be in church. Well, no, you go. Say a prayer for me. That is a man. That's a typical man. They're just like children still. And they're supposed to be the head of the house. How many know that all fathers are not heads of the house like they're supposed to be? So what's Paul saying here? He's saying, I threw the law. I mean, once I heard the law, I realized I couldn't keep it. I couldn't be perfect. I couldn't do what you're supposed to do as a light to the rest of the world. So everybody see me and say, I want to be like you. So the Jewish people today are still not beloved by their neighbors. How many know that the neighbors in Lebanon don't love them? And in Syria and in Jordan and so on. They don't love them. They don't love them. Because Jewish people sin too. And so they're not, you know, doing everything. For example, they can't say Shabbat Shalom, which is Jewish for have a perfect Sabbath, have a peaceful Sabbath. In other words, have everything in order exactly as God wants it. They've never had such a thing, ever, and never will. Because under the law, nothing is made perfect. Under a law, nothing's made perfect. So they outwardly conform to all kinds of little rules and regulations, but inside, everybody wants to be selfish. Everybody wants their own way. But you try to suppress it and repress it and oppress it and so on to try to behave yourself, say the right thing, do the right thing. And so on their Sabbath, for example, nobody can climb an elevator. Nobody can get in an elevator and go up. You have to walk up the stairs. You have to go the hard way because it's a sin. It's a sin in Judaism to do that. I mean, the whole country shuts down. A car can't go anywhere. A bus can't go anywhere. An airplane cannot fly. Isn't that amazing? Hmm. So the whole nation has to come to a halt. So you're just stuck. You're just stuck. If it's Sabbath, Friday evening until Saturday evening, you're just stuck there. And there you have it. Everybody has to worship God. It's just outward, because inwardly they're, you know, showing off their Gucci bag or whatever else. They're just people. They're just people.
That's right.
Amen? Do y'all understand? They're just people. And they might want to be pleasant all evening, but somebody sooner or later is going to do something wrong, especially kids. Have you ever noticed that about kids? They just say the darndest thing, pick their nose, and they're just kids, you know, and they don't, hey, you don't do that. You can tell them all day long, but they'll go, what? they don't behave. I was with my 3-year-old son yesterday in Connecticut, and he just says the funniest things. he just says stuff, and he's so serious. But he's funny. I mean, you just have to laugh. But he has 7 brothers and sisters above him. So he's very articulate at 3. I can just tell you, he's like amazing. He can say the biggest sentences and words and stuff. Like, how can you know those? He'll say this, Jesus, because they're all Christians, so they've taught him to say that. And so, how did you catch that ball, Jesus? Because he knows in that family you have to say Jesus. And they've all taught him that, and he's got it down. So whatever happens, he just goes, Jesus did it. Jesus did it. I love it. So, but none of us are perfect. So here's Paul saying, I, through the law, died to the law. In other words, I can't keep the law. I just can't keep it. It's too high. It's too much. I can't behave all the time. I behaved enough. I think I've done more than other people, so that should be enough. How many know if you do better than other people, that's grading on a curve, that should be okay. You should get at least a B or a C or something, but you shouldn't fail. But in God's sight, everybody fails. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, I didn't create you to be sinful. I created you to not sin ever. So what is not sin? Judy, what is not sin? If you're not supposed to sin, what would that be? How would you not sin? Because that's his law. Don't sin.
Believe.
The only sin for us now is you didn't believe that Jesus was merciful and forgave you for all your sins. So since God isn't counting sins anymore, because he already counted it on Jesus, and now it's gone. You cannot die now for your sins. Nobody. Nobody can die for their sins unless they choose not to take the mercy that he offered. Now there, they could do that. Well, I don't want Jesus' blood to cover my sins. I don't believe in that. Well, that's the sin of unbelief. That's the only sin now. The only sin now is that one. What would you do not to sin? What would you do not to sin? What would you do? I've taught you 1,000 times. I don't expect anyone to ever listen to me, but I have taught you. You know, it's okay. I'll just keep saying it. The only thing you can do if God has done everything for you and then you didn't do anything, here's the one thing you could do. Thank you. I praise you. I love you. That's one thing you could do. And you know what? That's not a work. That's a response to the fact that he did all the work and I just wanted to thank him. So I thank him for what he's done on my behalf, on behalf of me, for me, then in me, then through me. I thank him for all that. I am so thankful and grateful. Are you not?
Amen.
I am. Thank you, Jesus, for not counting my sins. Remember King David said, O Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? Nobody. So nobody can actually stand. Now, next part of the verse here, 2:20. For I through the law died to the law, that unto God I might live with Christ. The word for live there is not bios. How many know that bios, biology, is life, natural life, life here. Everybody has bios. Everybody here has bios. You're biologically alive. You're not dead. Biologically alive. That's not the word. That word is zoe, like zoo. That word is zoe. That means eternal life cannot die. You have a life now that you can never die. But anything you do that isn't perfect, you die. Sin and death. You sin, you die. You sin, you die. You sin, you die. You go over the speed limit, you get a fine. That's all there's to it. So you didn't eat all your peas, I'm going to spank you. I mean, that's it. You do it wrong, and then you get a punishment. But we're not under that. We're a new creation. In the new creation, we live by faith that Jesus Christ died for me. And when he died, I actually died, God says. How many know that's weird? When he died, I died. I actually died to sin, and now I live to worship God in Christ. That is, Christ liveth in me. So when he lives, I lives. When he dies, I dies. When he's buried, I'm buried. When he resurrects, I resurrect. Now that was his idea, to join himself with us as our servant. He didn't have to do it. He wanted to do it. He wanted to die for you even if you don't believe in him. Even if no one would believe in him, but he knew there would be. Because you do, Cynthia. I do. You do. I do. So it's possible to believe in him, because that's why he did it. That's why he came to earth, because he knew a lot of people would. Did you know that so many people are going to be in heaven with us that you can't count them? I don't know if that's a billion or a trillion or, you know, what it is. I don't know what the number is, but it's so big that he says, as many as the sand of the sea. You go on the seashore and you have to count all the little grains of sand. That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of sand grains. Or as the stars in the sky. How many know there's a lot of stars up in the sky if you didn't live in the city? I don't know what they just don't come in the city, but they're out there if you go in the country. You can see them. The other night I was laying in bed, because they live kind of like on a mountain. And it's all, there's just a little town. But it's, I just looked up and I could see the Big Dipper's right there. I could like reach up and touch it. It was so clear, because there's no city lights. There's nothing on. It's all pitch dark. So you can see everything. And I haven't seen stars for years, ever since I was a little kid. And you had to distinguish between the fireflies and the stars. Little kids, we used to gather those fireflies. I don't know if they have them anymore. But then you put them in a jar, and they're like a lamp. It's like little kids thought, hey, this is, I can see what's going on. These guys light up. But stars are beautiful. Gosh, it's gorgeous. I stayed up late even just to look at them. I was like, wow. But, people in the rest of the world that are primitive, they get to see the stars all night. So they got better TV than we do. They're really looking at something God made. It's perfect. Now, it's no longer I that live. Who lives? Well, the only one that has life in himself is Christ. The only one that has life in himself is God the Father. The only one that has life in himself is the Holy Spirit. So they are the Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth. Life in Christ Jesus, that life in the Spirit of life, the Spirit of life. Well, that's because God has life in himself. He can't lose it. He's always life. So when they killed Jesus and he died, he had to become a man first so he could die. But then because he was still God, he couldn't stay died. He couldn't. And so he just jumped up again after a few days. If you died right now, you would just wake up in the presence of Jesus. You can't stay died. Because you can't suffer the second death. No way. Your sins are gone. If you believe, then your sins are gone. Because you're already resurrected. But it's easy to forget that. And then you find yourself sinning. But it's all right. They're gone. Even though you find yourself sinning, they're not there. God doesn't count them. Man does. You may. But God doesn't. He said, no. You trusted in my son Jesus. When he rose, you rose. When he died, you died. Now, I don't know. This is the craziest thing the Bible could possibly say, because nobody can understand that. Nobody can understand how a man that lived 2,000 years ago in a place called Palestine or Jerusalem or whatever, that guy, when he died, I died. That don't make any sense at all. I'm alive right now. But he said, I died. Just like when Adam and Eve ate the tree, he said, the day you eat of it, you'll die. And they died. But they were still living. So it didn't make any sense. Nobody could understand it. So we cannot understand how when he died, I died. Meaning, but I understand it, because it's saying this. When he died, your sins now, you can't die, because even if you sin, it's the law of sin and death. You have to sin to die. So you can't sin now, because he already died. And he paid for your death. And so when he rose, you rose, and he already did. And so it's over.
Hallelujah.
Now what's left for me? Since I can't be perfect apart from him, just stay with him. Just stay with him. That's what I'm doing, Willis. It works. No guilt. I mean, I know I've done wrong, and I know I am guilty in the eyes of man, but God doesn't see it that way. I mean, he knows what I did, but he doesn't count it. No, angels, don't put that down. I'm not counting that. He's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wow. How many know this is ridiculous talk? But, I mean, it's not part of this world. Because God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So his way is for you to believe in Jesus, and that way you're free. Forever. How many are free forever? By faith. It's not because you're good. It's because he's good.
Amen.
It's not because you're smart. He's smart.
Amen.
It's is, and he's smart for you. He's not smart for himself. He's smart for you. Because God said him, go down there and help those people. And Jesus said, sure, I'll do it. I'll do it. Here am I. Send me. And Jesus did that. Now you can do that for others. You can help others understand this thing that you can't understand. Do you understand? They can't understand, but they hear it. And faith cometh by hearing. And after you hear, you begin to understand. But you can't really understand. You hear their words, but you don't know what they're saying. But you can see by their life that they got something you don't have. They've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. So, where do they get that? Because how many know most people are not good at self-control? Or meekness? Or goodness? Or faith? Or so on. So those gifts of the Spirit are really God. They're not your gifts. They're just God shining out through you that other people see. And when men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, so I know what I'm saying doesn't make a lot of sense. Don't anybody think, I didn't know a word you said. I don't blame you. But maybe you could get a word like, God loves you. All I'm saying is, God loves you. All I'm saying is he's not under the law, left hand. He's not going to punish anybody that believes in Jesus, right hand. So if you believe in Jesus, you transfer from left hand to right hand. This, everybody dies here. Everybody without exception, because they weren't perfect. But over here, nobody dies. I don't know, between the two, I like this one better. I mean, just if you're just choosing. I think instead of living under his left hand trying to behave, I'd rather have Jesus behave and keep his promise that I'm fine, everything's okay. Well, I didn't even do anything. Except you become as a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. Except as you become as a little child. Little children don't understand trigonometry. And I could say stuff to Danny, my little grandson, 3-year-old. I could say stuff to him that he couldn't comprehend. But he would say the word. He would repeat whatever I said. Something that he couldn't possibly understand. But he repeated, Grandpa, what does that mean? And he wanted to know the meaning of the word because I used it. And then I would say it, and he'd repeat it. And he'd go in and he'd tell his brothers and sisters. He'd say whatever I just said. It was amazing. They go, Danny, what are you saying? Because he doesn't know, but he just heard it. And by hearing, he used it. He just said it. It was cute. He's a cute little kid because he doesn't know about war. He doesn't know about the economy falling apart. He doesn't know about anything. He's just not aware of anything except smiling all the time. Hi, Grandpa Jim. Let's play. That's all he knows. I say, well, I'm going to go to the bookstore. Okay, I'll go. Well, it's boring. I mean, I'll be there for hours. Okay. Because he doesn't know anything till he gets there. Grandpa, are we done? Are we done? Is this thing over? Because all he wanted was one book or two books or something. He got a little picture book of something. As soon as he got, I think it was Thomas the Train or something. I got a little Thomas the Train. Grandpa Jim, this one. Get this one for me. So he hands it to the lady and pays for it 15 cents or something. If you go to library sales, they're cheaper. Uh-huh. And I know exactly where to go when I go to Connecticut or wherever I go. Kansas City. You can't take me to a city I don't know where all the sales are. I love buying books. It's a sin, but I love buying them. It's the only thing I do buy. It's books. And I bought about 30, 40. All right. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. In other words, now that I'm dead to the law, I can live to God by faith. I have been crucified with Christ. When did Christ get crucified? Last week? Was it here in Dallas? Where did Christ get crucified? When was it?
In Israel,
2,000 years ago in Jerusalem or something like that. Okay, so how did his death become mine in the eyes of God? Not in the eyes of man, because his death was just a death. The Romans thought he was, worthy of death, but whether they actually they didn't. He actually said, I don't find a crime in this man worthy of death. But he knew the Jews were going to throw a riot unless he killed him, because Jesus was ruining their religious program. You know, their retirement fund. He was attacking their income. He was attacking, and religion is a lot about money, amen, collecting money. So could we take a collection right now? It's a lot about money raising, but I've never paid attention to it, because my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. So if nobody paid a dime, it doesn't bother me at all, because I believe God can't lie.
Amen.
And so far, 75 years, I'm almost 76, another month or so, that's pretty old to never have ever been had a debt in my life, and I don't get paid hardly anything compared to anyone else. As a matter of fact, I lower it all the time. I just do it so that I can, you know, do other things. But God supplies all my needs, so I'm doing fine. Unbelievable. It's amazing. But why is that? Not because I'm worthy, not because anybody likes me. It's just because God likes me. He likes me. Did you know that Jesus loves me? This I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Amen.
You get a little three-year-old. Danny didn't know that, so I taught him that song. But he didn't know that one. And they thought he did because they've sung it. But they thought, well, he knows that. He said, I don't know that song. So we sang it. It's, you know, and now he likes that one. Grandpa Jim taught me that. So it's a good song.
Good.
Now, once he's dead, Jesus, you're dead to sin. You're dead to sin. You're dead to yourself, because there's sin in yourself. You're the tree that produces that fruit. But once you're dead, once he died, you're dead. So, I was crucified with Christ. Now, that word in Greek, soon, S-U-N, soon. Soon, and then it storos, soon storos. So, when it says that, it's crucified, storos, cross, and then it's soon, with. When he died, I died with him. And when he rose, I rose with him. And when he was buried, I was buried with him. So, in other words, wherever Jesus is, I is. If he is, I is. If he's in heaven, I'm in heaven. If I'm on earth, he's on earth. Because we're tied together by faith. By faith, not by works. So, you cannot get into heaven unless you're perfect, but because Jesus is, and he's marrying me, and he likes me, I get in too. Say, Dad, can I bring this one with me? Well, have they done any sin? Oh, yeah, a lot of sin. Well, could you clean them up first? Okay, I'll go back and die for them. And then he can bring them in. But don't bring that ragamuffin into the house. That street urchin. You know, bring a nice one here. I want perfect. Okay, I'll fix them up. So when he died, I died. And then I became a Christian. It's like little Lord Fauntleroy, you remember? He was not an earl. He was not a great one. But because his grandfather was something, he would be that if he wore some nicer clothes. So he put on some clothes. Now he's an earl. I mean, you know that clothes make you a nicer person. So he just simply threw clothing and now began to look like an earl. But he was still an American at heart. And his American ruffian friends came over with him, you know, as earl. He wanted that. Could I have my friends come over? Because now that I'm an earl. So he utilized it right away. And so I'm going to know God has a sense of humor. That God is very funny.
Yeah.
He's very funny. And like one time he said, it's like swallowing a camel and straining out a gnat. I mean, that's funny. You can see a person swallowing a camel. And then he strains out the gnat. I don't want any, you know, gnat here. So he got a little thing that doesn't strain out camels. The camel would break it. So it doesn't make any sense what he's saying, but it's a joke. He's like saying a joke. You can't get into the heaven by good works. So he's got a little net that prevents gnats, but you can swallow camels. And he's saying, don't swallow a camel just to get rid of a gnat. I think it's funny. I thought that was funny. Then he had another funny one. It's like sewing a new patch on an old garment. In other words, if you wash material, the old garment shrunk already. But you put a new patch on it, then as soon as you sew that new patch on it, it looks very good. But the minute it rains or you put it in water, it'll shrink and then rip the whole thing and rip the whole garment. I thought that was funny too. And he said, don't be like that. So that, what he's saying is, that's the way we are. That is exactly how foolish we are. So you'd try to put a new patch on an old garment. Or, you know, and he had a lot of them. So Jesus is funny. He's trying to make a point. Don't worry. Don't worry. I love you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I created you. I'll redeem you. I'll fix you. I'll perfect you. I'll marry you. I'll give you my entire inheritance. Everything in heaven will be yours. Everything on earth will be yours. Wow. I don't even know what that is. I never even been there. I don't know. Do they have peanuts in heaven? I don't know. Because in nice houses, they have peanuts right in the doorway sometimes. You just go in and, hey, could I have one of these mints? You know, you get to eat them. And they give you as many as you want. Wow. I love going to, you know, weddings for that reason. Because they have free food. It's all free. You just go there and you can eat anything. You know, most people don't eat it all. So I just go and pick it all up and eat it. They got peanuts. They got cake. They got cookies. You know, they got a lot of good stuff. So I love free. Does anybody else love free things that are nice? I mean, nice free things that I like. So God loves you that much that there's nothing he would ever withhold from you. Never withheld any good thing from you, Judy. Isn't that amazing? You've only gotten the best. Best husband, best children, best pastor. I mean, you are blessed. You can't imagine. So does anybody else recognize that? You have everything. Willis, best wife, best children, best pastor. I just mentioned that. Just throw that in. But have a good time here. Because basically what he's saying is, don't worry about the future. I took care of it. Don't worry about the past. I paid for it. You're in. Just celebrate. So worship is nothing more than celebrating. All right, time for me to go. Hope you enjoyed that you're a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come.
Amen.